I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Good afternoon and or evening, Steve.
Good afternoon and or evening to you too and the listeners.
It's been a grey old day. It's been an evening day. Maybe a bit of a TV day for some people. Who knows?
Bit of a TV day. And I thought to myself on the way over here that the show I'm going to kick off by talking about today, first of all, it's kind of, it felt a bit weird watching a show set in a five-star resort.
That was me. Sorry.
Oh, shit.
Well, it was Pete, actually.
Oh.
Pete Surf.
Catch the surf at five, guys.
Oh,
surf
dear.
At five. Back to cinema.
No, you've just... Can you put some?
That's gonna
put something in the.
We're trying to make Pete your arch enemy. We're trying to start a thing.
$5.
We can't afford that kind of crap. What are you talking about?
Don't do the gimme sign to me. Thank you.
So anyway, I've been watching a show called The White Lotus. This is a black comedy set in a 5-star resort, and COVID-19 makes this an interesting proposition. First of all, because it let them go to an actual resort and take it over and bubble up and make a show there, so it's kind of cool. And then second of all, because it's kind of weird watching a show that's sort of, rich international travel is such a big component of it when that's not really happening. Then also look out the window and go, it's a terrible, shitty day. And so added weird factor of watching
people enjoying themselves.
Well, not just enjoying themselves. This is a...
Kind of sounded like The Shining when you first started talking about it.
Yeah, but it's like a sunshine shining.
So it is Benidorm. What is it?
So the White Lotus is the name of this fictional resort. It's actually the Four Seasons Maui. I have not been to the Four Seasons Maui.
Sounds
glorious. Have you guys been to the Four
Never
Seasons
been
Maui?
To Hawaii?
No, I've been to New Caledonia. So I feel like I can relate. There's a Club Med there.
Part of the way there.
Back when Club Med was in its prime.
That's the only tropical island I've spent any time at.
I'm going to sound like a bit of a dick now, but I've been to Raro as well. So I just thought I'd jump on that. I didn't want anyone thinking that maybe I hadn't been to Raro.
No, it's good to clarify that you have been to Raro.
So apologies, John, for that taking that one from you. I should get you to Club Med sometime.
We should also thank Tourism Rarotonga as well.
In this instance...
That's
natural. That just came that way, and we should probably give them a nice little voice break and then send that off in an email and maybe get a little sponsorship.
Yeah, I think it's great they coincidentally sent us all $40 vouchers for a trip to Raro. It's good to knock that off the ticket price.
There are some bargains.
Back to the plot of this television show.
Okay, so this is it's a 5-star resort, and a group of VIP tourists come into the joint. We follow three different storylines. There's a newlywed couple, there's a family on family vacation, and there is a grieving woman who's got her mum's ashes with her. The cast is great. One of the newlyweds is Alexandra Daddario. She's it's probably one of the better performances of her career, but really the standout in the show, grieving woman Jennifer Coolidge, who is probably best known as Stifler's mom. But she's a great kind of character comedy actor. She's in a bunch of Christopher Guest movies. It's probably like one of the more dramatic things that she's done, and she's super watchable. But basically you're watching these very entitled rich dicks have all sorts of entitlement and power issues. They're all dealing with different kind of like personal calamities. This is black comedy and drama. It sort of gets a little bit Succession here and there. Mm-hmm. Although
is
without,
it through anyone's lens or any characters specific to the story, or is it just float around the...
It kind of goes between those three different plot lines, although the hotel manager is also probably sort of makes up the fourth. He's a guy trying to hold it together. He's been there for a while. When he comes across some lost drugs, he's tempted to take said lost drugs, and he's a bit of a spiral out. I think the pressure of him being a polite veneer and treating these rich guests like spoiled children, I think he describes them at one point.
That's the dynamic of holidaying, right? When you're paying like the big bucks,
it absolutely is. And I think that watching this, I hoped that I wasn't like one shred as entitled as these people, But I think there's about traveling.
Yeah, dude.
And there's something about treating it like this is a service that
I've got the upper
entitled,
hand the whole time.
I'm
kind
entitled
of vibe,
to these things that I've paid for.
Yeah.
There's this great part where the newlywed couple, the new husband kind of reveals his true colors because he gets really upset that they didn't quite get the room that he thought they were getting.
Mm.
And so he undertakes this long campaign to try and get them the suite they really needed, even though arguably it's not actually as good. But undercutting it all is the fact that it's just called the Pineapple Room. So it's this quite intensely waged battle over something that sounds quite absurd.
It's the scenario where the customer is always right, like kind of really rears its head. You know, when you're on holiday like that, you feel like there is an entitled situation.
Massively so. So this is via HBO. It's playing here on Neon. The episodes are like a commercial hour, like 40-something minutes, 6-episode season. The first two are up now, and the remaining episodes...
What's it called? The White what?
The White Lotus.
Okay.
How many stars?
Is that the name of the boat or the place?
That's the name of the place.
Okay. Did they go there on boat, though?
They do arrive on a little boat, actually, because they're VIPs, so they get a special little arrival.
Yes.
They're treated very, very nicely. But sort of through it all, there's this kind of interwoven... Well, it's not subtext, it's text. They're in Hawaii. Of course, most of the staff are going to be Hawaiian, but it just sort of seems like wherever these people are swinging their power, there's a person of colour that's getting the short end of the stick.
Are they all Americans, kind of all over the holidaying people, or are they kind
the,
of like...
All of the holidayers are Americans.
Okay, cool.
Are they from the East Coast?
which was the style at the time.
I've got a quote for you. I'm just going to move past your question. The resort manager's telling a new staff member how to approach these VIP guests.
Mm-hmm.
You have to treat these people like sensitive children. They always say it's about the money, but it's not. It's not even about the room. They just want to feel seen. They want to be the only child, the special chosen baby child of the hotel, and we are their mean mummies denying them their pineapple room.
Facts. As Savage would say.
Yeah, I dug this. And so, that's on there. You can check that out. Also, last night I caught up on a film from last year's International Film Festival that I missed, but was one of other Flix writers' faves. Made a list of the top films of NZIFF 2020. It's called The Unknown Saint. It has come to Netflix, and it's this, like, absolutely bone-dry kind of crime caper. It opens with a dude in Morocco. He's done some kind of a robbery. He's got a bunch of cash, and as his car breaks down, he runs up a big hill and buries it so he can come back for it later. Goes off to the slammer, and when he gets out, he goes back to get his cash, and he finds that there's a shrine where he left it. People have maybe misinterpreted what his buried pile of money was, and they think it's an unknown saint has been buried there. And so then the film continues as he tries to recover said cash from what is now a religious site with a community of pilgrims sprung up around it.
When you say bone dry, it sounds like it's got quite a lot of potential for some humorous situations.
Yeah, and we're talking bone dry like a kind of Coen Brothers, like these are like really, like a lot of the humor that was getting me cracking up the most was just characters indulging in absolutely straight-faced dialogue with one another,
mm-hmm.
like to the point where you go, I don't understand how the other person's not just corpsing and cracking up all the way through it. It's nice to see something that, from a festival selection just sort of pop up on Netflix there.
It seems like there's not a lot of festival stuff on Netflix.
Ooh, hot take. Ooh, from John there.
Rough.
Right, just towards the end of the segment. You know?
You already put the boot into Netflix there. You have to give that $40 voucher back to them.
Damn it, John.
I thought that was Tourism Rarotonga.
I thought we got two.
So much money going around.
Yeah, slush fund. There's a little bit. I've just been going through Prime Video to try and compile a list of the best stuff on Prime, and while there are definitely plenty of films there, and even acknowledging the fact that their New Zealand selection isn't quite as massive as it is in the States, for instance, that seems to be a lot less diverse than the kind of scope of the Netflix library.
Okay.
I just think they don't necessarily do a fantastic job of spotlighting things that aren't their massive big priorities, like their show that starts today, Sexy Beasts, in which people don Tim Batt reviewed this one for us, and small spoiler.
It sounds like Face Off. Is it kind of like Face Off?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yes! John Travolta, isn't it?
The idea is kind of that, well, I think the idea is it's an excuse for people to dress like furries and date each other. But the other excuse is that they won't know what the person looks like until the mask comes off at the end. So it's really a test of the personality of the contestants. However, as Tim... Spoiler.
Wait, is this a show where their penis is there and they would look at the penis and date the person? Is it that one?
No. Okay. No. This is one where they look like mice or...
The penises.
Mandrakes. Mm. Sure. We're going in a direction I don't want to go in.
Well, it's TV though, mate. It's no one's fault.
It's TV. It's no one's fault.
What's the name of the show Big Hungry's talking about? An Attraction.
Oh, right.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks, man. You really saved me there. I was just kind of like, I was just flirting with words.
Yeah.
Just flirting with the word penis.
Thanks, Steve.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.